Welcome back to another episode of the Make Disciples podcast. My name is Dan Rober, and joining me today in the podcast studio is Mike Shockey. Mike, good to have you here with us.
Thanks, Dan. Glad
or as my daughter knows you as Dr. Shocktopus.
Yes.
Yes.
The moniker given me many years ago by Greg Stewart, and then JP brought it back to life, and now your daughter's got a hold of it.
It's going to be around forever, I suppose. Awesome. Yeah. Well, all we're doing here is hearing one another's stories, and so I'm excited to hear yours, but let's start with the basics here. Tell us a little bit about your role here at Wildwood, how long you've been around, and what you do here.
I have been affiliated with Wildwood as a member, my wife and I, April, since 2010, early 2010. And the church sent me to seminary and has supported me through that endeavor and helped me to revitalize church along the way over near campus at FSU. And so on again, off again since 2010, primarily on because in all the different things that we've done between then and now, Wildwood has always been kind of undergirding us and on the horizon. When in the COVID era, our church, which was mostly young professionals and college students over near campus, when that came to a bit of a grinding halt and nobody quite knew how they wanted to do church. I shouldn't say nobody, but many of them. We brought several of those folks that are still today with us here at Wildwood. And that was a pretty natural transition because Wildwood had been supporting us in some fashion during all that time. So I am a pastoral resident, which effectively in the PCA just means that I am working towards my the finish of my Master's of Divinity. But in the meantime, I am a pastor. I am doing pastoral things. I have been ordained by a local ordination as a pastor under the auspices of Wildwood, but not the PCA,
sure.
As Wildwood sat in on and really brought those ordination services to bear. So when I brought our people back over to Wildwood, it was agreed that I would just kind of fill some roles affectionately as they were needing to be filled, and that I would really just simply be the pastor that I've always been and kind of carry that sort of spirit into this place. That's the unofficial side. The official side is that I work very much with the community that is Wildwood, community groups right now. That's just one faction of what I do is working with community groups, but also looking at ways that we can press into the broader community as the community that is Wildwood for the sake of the gospel. I don't want that to sound terribly generic, but that's effectively what I do. I am a pastor, so.
Yeah, and knowing a little bit of your story already, I know that the gospel has changed your life in a dramatic way. So can you tell us a little bit about what led you to Christ?
The long and short of that is that I was not anticipating Jesus when he found me, I was invited to church by a neighbor, a man who actually I knew quite well, but I went in 2001. I went to church somewhat reluctantly, and I slowly but surely saw Jesus over the course of about 6 weeks bring me completely and fully in my heart and mind to believe that he was who he said he was, is, and that I needed him very desperately. And there is much, much more to that story, but effectively the change that you speak of yeah, is in two ways. It had its primary effect in the fact that I was a very atheistic musician, entrepreneur, didn't need anybody, you know, had myself and had my talents, and that's all I needed, and I was a terribly selfish man, and brought me to a place where I could see beyond those things, and saw a need for Jesus. And then in the second part of, you know, how he has changed and is changing me, is that I'm still a selfish guy. I still have some of those tendencies, but now I'm very aware of them and very quick, I think I am, very quick to dismantle those things and see the Spirit of God work in me to be rid of it, and then also to familiarize with people around me who have the same kind of sensibility, which frankly is most of the world around you. Everyone has selfishness, and it enables me to be able to see some things in them, to empathize with them, and to just kind of familiarize with where they are. And often it gives me the change that he has wrought in me really is maybe an ability to not have my own sin lost on myself. It gives me an opportunity to talk with people at a more common level, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah. So for the sake of the gospel, of course.
Yeah. So there's been that tremendous life change, but that doesn't necessarily draw people into full-time ministry. So what was it that led you into ministry?
I guess it's because I talk a lot and because somebody along the way said, hey, maybe you should be a teacher. I don't know if that's true. No, I immediately upon getting saved, Jesus coming to me and rescuing me, I noticed that I had a desire for teaching, not necessarily preaching, though I'm for that, and I like that. I do make a distinction, you know, between the two things. But I loved immediately, and still to this day, love the teaching of Scripture, the wealth and depth of it, and the different personalities and intellects and passions that can bring that out in different people. So that got me at first, but it never occurred to me that I myself would do such a thing. And a friend invited me, a mentor of mine who has since gone on to be with Jesus, but he invited me to come to the prison down at Wakulla, just south of here, where he was doing some teaching. And I didn't want to go. It didn't sound like anywhere I wanted to be. And it took a couple of years. And I finally went. And he took me 1 week. I got to know some of the guys, and they were very kind. I got up and gave a little testimony of how I had come to Christ, and or how he had come to me, rather. And the next week, he is driving me out there, and he says, well, here's the book that we're going through right here. You're going to lead the class tonight.
Oh, wow.
And I just thought, I don't know how good of an idea this is. I don't know what I'm doing. And from that that time in August of 2006 until today, I have been teaching and learning how to teach, and the ever-developing, trade of teaching, the ever-developing skill, and I don't know how good I am at it, but I'm very passionate about it for sure. So
yeah.
And that was affirmed, I think, at the end of the day by not only him, but as we went, but it's been affirmed by so many different people to say, hey, this is what we feel like you should be doing.
So just one final question. What would you say, if you had to summarize it, is your hope for Wildwood? What would you long to see here at Wildwood?
Again, at the risk of sounding generic about my hope for Wildwood, it is not generic. My hope for Wildwood is precisely the same as it is for myself or you or Isaac or anyone, really. And that is just that we would be sure of what this otherwise invisible God has done for us.
Yeah.
in the midst of a life that puts so much on us in the way of doubt and fear and concern, and even in our pride, and you know, even when we are sure about our faith and, you know, these kinds of things. I get that. There are people who are strong in their faith that way, and they can see Jesus. I get it. But not really. Somewhere in that very person's life, let alone the more people than not's life out there, when they lay their head down on the pillow at night. What I want for Wildwood is the same as I want for those people, is that they're sure of their salvation, and that they're sure of it in biblical ways and not ways that we often think are biblical. Mm. And that would open up a whole nother can of worms that you don't have time for in this little segment.
But certainly, yeah, something that people can sit down with you and talk more about.
And I do that. Yeah. And that actually is the primacy of the ministry that I've been given over these years, is the assurance of faith and how crucial that is. And I would put a capstone on that statement to say that it's the very reason that the Reformation itself formed, was because you had some men who were with themselves and with people who weren't sure, and thereby they were not acting in accordance with what the church should be doing in the world.
Yeah.
You can't very well go pass along assurance and hope to people when you yourself don't have any. So my great hope for Wildwood is that they have that hope, that they keep that hope, and that they know where that from where that hope derives, because it's really the only way that any church or kingdom building organization, as it were, keeps building.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your story, Mike. Mm. And we love to hear stories, and we love to hear your stories as well. We want to know what's going on in the life of our Wildwood congregation, and we'd love to share them just with the staff or perhaps with the whole congregation. So you can submit your own stories by going to wildwoodtlh.com/stories, and there's a brief form you can fill out there. Your opportunity to tell your story about how God has moved and worked in your life. Thanks, Mike, for being here.
Thanks for having me.
And we'll see you for another episode of the Make Disciples podcast.